All right. Here we are, Fritzberg and Blood and Faith.com. It's the 3rd of August, 2023. I promised I'd talk to you about building a nation. And if last night, yesterday was an introduction, we'll call this part one. And I want to talk about, first of all, what a nation is not. A nation is not a group of disparate people that happen to occupy either a similar geography or a distant geography. A nation, the word nation in our language, in English, comes from actually a, you know, the Latin word, which is the same, you know, it's the same root words as French, Spanish, Portuguese, Romanian. And it's from, in Spanish, it's nacer. That's the next language that I know most. But you've heard of, you know, you've got a, you know, somebody works in the prenatal unit, or you've heard of prenatal and postnatal. It refers to birth. Natal refers to birth. And nacer is the Spanish word for to be born. And nation refers to a bloodline. It's those born of a certain bloodline, a certain common ancestor. So that's for a start. A nation is not a bunch of people with a similar color passport. I happen to have, well, three different passports in three different colors, all from the same country. And I've lived overseas. I've worked overseas. I've worked with people who migrated legally or illegally to the United States, and they became quote-unquote Americans. Or so some people say. These people don't have our culture. They don't have our language. They don't have our values. They don't have our religion. But they get a blue passport, and they immediately are able to collect Social Security benefits and supplemental security income, and they could care less about our country. They're not about to go down and sign up for the military to defend America. They could care less. It's a meal ticket for them. They have no loyalty whatsoever to the Constitution of the United States, their fellow Americans, the land, the welfare of the land itself. It's a grift. A nation is not a body of disparate people occupying a similar geography ruled over by some government. That's not what a nation is. We have many examples of that from history. Most recently, a good example is the old Yugoslavia. By the way, Yugoslavia refers to the southern slave regions. Yugo for South, Slavia for slaves. Used to bring slaves out of there. I think I've mentioned that Crimea used to be a slaving base for the Muslim. For the Muslim, they'd come up out of the Middle East, and it's Crimea was their slave base. They'd go up and they would enslave white and Christian Russians. Their boys, they would castrate them. The women, they would use women for what women are used for when they're slaves, until a great Russian leader drove them out and turned Crimea into a Russian territory, about 250 years ago. Probably didn't see that on CNN. Yugoslavia was, and so to this day, the Balkans, you've got Muslims, you've got Christians, you got Serbs, you got Croats, you got Albanians, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work to mix all these people together. And the only way that works is if you put a totalitarian dictatorship over it. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was a dictator over the land of Yugoslavia until his time was up and the whole country fell apart. If you want a theological basis for this, go into the Holy Scriptures, go into the Bible, and read about the Babylonian Empire. I read about how, or the Persian Empire, and you read about how These empires ruled over many disparate races, many different ethnic groups, many different languages. And often to keep control of them, they would mix them up. So, for example, when the Assyrians, we'll go to the Assyrian Empire, when the Assyrians defeated the northern 10 tribes of Israel, They said, okay, you're done. And they transplanted. They drove them out of their land. And they put a different people there. They put a different race of people in the land of Israel, which we know of as Samaria, the northern territories up in there. And so you take the people, you force migration on people in order to mix them up, confuse them, diminish their power, pit them against one another. This is right out of the Holy Scriptures. You ought to believe this stuff. And cause them to struggle just to survive. Again, we see that happening in the lower, in the land of Judah. And finally, the Jews are conquered and they're driven out of their land and they end up all over the place. They end up in Babylon. They end up in some of the Persian Empire. And we have the story of Esther there. Now, the Jews figure this out. The book of Esther is critical. Absolutely critical. Everybody thinks, oh, the poor Jews and God saved them. No. They're not a persecuted minority. They're a pure persecuting minority. And they thrive best in multicultural empires. So the Jews are in this multicultural empire. They sidle their way into power, not by taking power, but by becoming friends with the Ahasuerus, who is the emperor. They weasel their way into positions of influence and then use that to drive their own interests and murder those they dislike. You saw that in the book of Esther in the Persian Empire. The Jews in the book of Esther are not a godly people. There's no prayers to God there. Please reread that. There's no appeal to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob or the law. No appeal to law, no appeal to God, no nothing. They create entirely new customs and traditions and a new religion in the book of Esther. Purim doesn't come from Moses. Purim doesn't come from the Bible. This is their own thing. It's about them. It's all about them. And it's about them and about murdering their opponents. That's what the book of Esther teaches you out of the Holy Scriptures. It's there as a warning for everybody. And they are able to thrive in the mix. They weasel their way into power, seduce the emperor, proclaim false loyalties, which they did in the time of Caesar as well. We see that at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Oh, we have no king but Caesar. We're loyal. We have one king. It's Caesar. Jesus, he's a traitor. He's into sedition. He's into treason. He's into insurrection. Same thing you see today in 2023, isn't it? Same thing you see today. Those aren't nations. Those are agglomerations of disparate peoples who are ruled over by tyrants. And in that situation, the Jew will find a way to get involved. This is according to the Holy Scriptures. This is according to the book of Esther. To go out and murder their opponents and advance their own agenda. I've said this many ways in many different manners, many different times. I'm going to give you another example. There was an evil Jew. He was a lying Jew and he was a murdering Jew. He was a self-righteous, hypocritical Jew. Men used to lay their cloaks at his feet while he went out and murdered people, and he would give them a little golf clap because he was too self-righteous to do the murder himself. His name was Saul. Saul was an evil Jew. And the Almighty God said, you know what? I'm going to use you, little son of a gun, as an example. And through you, I'm going to teach people something. And, of course, he had mercy on Saul as well. Saul converts, swears allegiance to Jesus Christ, repents, immediately tells the Jews. Jews are central. You can't escape the centrality of Jews in the history of mankind. Not for good either. Tells the Jews Jesus Christ is literally the Son of God, and they try to murder him. He lasts for a while. Eventually, they catch up with him, and they murder him, but That's the story. Remember, even in the Roman Empire, the Jews sidled their ways into power and influence. They blackmailed Pilate and said, hey, if you let him go, you're no friend of Caesar's. And by the way, we have lots of Jews at court in Rome. Pilate saw the writing on the wall and he allow Jesus Christ to be crucified, but he said, hey, I'm washing my hands of this. This is on you. And the Jews said, hey, let his blood be upon us and our children. Multicultural empires. Favor the Jews. Don't favor anybody else. So this Jew, back to the Jew, back to the evil Jew, Saul, who repents, he starts telling the truth about Jews. And much of his writings are dedicated to warning Europeans about the Jews. Think about it. Who does Saul go to? He goes to Europe. Saul goes to the Europeans. He goes to the white people. He starts in Asia Minor, Anatolia. Back in those days, Western Anatolia, it was entirely European colonies, Greek and Roman colonies. Gaul was in the middle of Anatolia. Gaul is the Gaul that you're familiar with. It's from northern France, Belgium. Those were the Gauls, and they had a colony of people down there. They're white people. You want a little treat? Go look up the last Gaul. It's a marble statue, and the guy is entirely European. And he warns these people, don't stay away from these Jews. He says it in theological language, but he says, listen, man, don't be tricked by what they're teaching and what they're saying. And he says something very interesting to the church in Thessalonica. These are white Christian Europeans. And he tells them, he says, listen, my enemies are the Jews. I've suffered at the hands of them. You suffered at the hands of them. And by the way, these are the people that killed the prophets. They drove us out. They murdered Jesus Christ. And they're hostile to all mankind. This is a Jew on the Jews. This is a Jew, Saul, who converted, becomes Paul. And he tells the truth about his people, his race. He says the Jews are hostile to all of mankind. It's too bad the church today has a hard time with that. So a nation is not an empire. It's not a multi-ethnic empire. Diversity is not a strength. Diversity is a strength to the Jew because they're able to get in there, according to the Holy Scriptures, according to the examples we see in the Holy Scripture, whether it's the Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, or the Roman Empire. They find a way to get into power, and then they literally murder their enemies. Jesus Christ was their enemy. The church, the disciples, the apostles are the enemies of the Jews. That's why they're murdering them. That's why they put the cloaks down at the feet of Saul. Now, to ignore this is to ignore the Holy Scriptures. And my witness against the church is, in fact, the Jews themselves. They've said, hey, listen, the Holy Scriptures, this New Testament that the church likes, the Christian church likes, they're fundamentally and irrevocably anti-Semitic. We either have to find a way for them to decanonize these books or at the very least cause them to reinterpret them into something that's favorable to us. And that's in fact what they have done. And they said that that's what we've done. We've convinced the church, the Christians, to have an oral interpretation that overrides the written word of God, just like we did with the books of Moses and the prophets. And they're proud of this. Ought to be ashamed of it, but that's a different story. So what is a nation? Okay, if we establish the fact that a nation is not a group of unrelated people living under a common government, and mind you, that is exactly the project of the Jews in Christian Europe and in Christian North America and in Australia and New Zealand. That's the product of the Jews. Oh, you're picking on the Jews again, Fritz. Yeah, sorry. So is the Bible. The Bible picks on the Jews. Not going to apologize for that. Go to JewishContributions.com. Look up a guy named Noel Ignatieff. There's a Jew, and he says, my goal in life is to genocide the white race. He's very open about it. He's passed away a couple years ago, but been very open about that. He says, my goal is the elimination of the white race. The Jews are open about this. They talk about this, but nobody can talk about this because if you mention it, oh, you're anti-Semitic to mention what the Jews say, and they brag about it. A nation, anyway, so this is the product of the Jews. This is the product of the Antichrist for the white and Christian nations. Flood the white and Christian nations with non-whites and non-Christians. Flood them with Nigerians and Somalians. Flood North America with Salvadoranos. I lived there, beautiful country, wonderful people. No odd against them. But you're not going to build a nation by turning it into a multicultural empire. And that is the goal of the Jew and their allies. Now, they hide. If you say it's the Jews, well, they say, well, you can't say that. That's anti-Semitic. And my response to that is, why do I care about your rules again? Why exactly do I care about your rules and your morality? I'll take the rules of morality of Jesus Christ and what Paul said about the Jews. Thank you very much. Christians got to get over this whole accusation of being anti-Semitic. They really got to dump that. It's slavery. You've bound yourself to the law of the Jew. You've bound yourself to the law of the Antichrist. You don't have permission to do that. Jesus Christ did not give you permission to overrule the Word of God, the written Word of God, with man-made traditions. Church has to repent of this. So the project of the Antichrist is absolutely racial. It's to genocide the white race. You see, if you go read about what's going on in South Africa right now, that's a continuation of that project. Flooding Europe with Africans is a continuation of that project. Flooding the United States with Africans and Middle Easterners and other people that are not white and not Christian is absolutely a continuation of that project. There's no question about that. In Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, and the rest of them. And they're proud of it. And you've got fellow travelers, white people that are fellow travelers in this. Now, most of the leaders are going to end up being Jews, but they hide because you can't identify a Jew. You can't say, oh, that person, you can't. It's against the religion of North America. Christians have more respect for a pagan religion than they do for the Holy Scriptures. It's really quite remarkable. So what is a nation? The example in the Holy Scriptures of a nation is the ancient nation of Israel. Abraham, the patriarch, Isaac, the patriarch, Jacob, the patriarch, who was renamed Israel, who then has 12 sons, and they spend 400 years in slavery to a different race, to the Egyptians. A leader arises. He begins essentially a race war. He starts out by distinguishing. He said, you know what, I'm going to be loyal to my race. And he murders Egyptians, sheds the blood of Egyptians. And, of course, this is an act of treason, absolutely an act of treason. It's not just an act of murder, it's an act of treason. And so he flees. He's out there in the wilderness for 40 years. I suspect, and I appreciate Moses, the more I learn about him, the more I appreciate him. I suspect he had a sense of destiny upon his life, that he knew he was called for something more than raising sheep, although he was quite satisfied with raising sheep in the wilderness. He had a wife and kids. Jesus Christ sends him back in Egypt. He says, bring out my people. Bring out my race. Bring out the bloodline that I have chosen. I'm going to destroy that other race. I'm going to destroy the Egyptians. I don't like the Egyptians. I like the sons of Israel. So he does. He brings them out. They have a common language. Common historical experience, common language, common battles, common struggles, and he takes them into a land that belonged to a different race. This is important to understand. You've got all this concern about the First Nations, especially referring to Canada. I mean, in a sense, there's nobody been nicer to the First Nations than the settlers of Canada and the United States, giving them their own places. I mean, in most of the world, you'd just be slaughtered or removed. Just say, you know what, you need to go live somewhere else. In a sense, we did that. We said, you go live on your reservations. Moses, God Almighty, he told him, he said, you go into the land of Canaan and you slaughter every Canaanite that lives. There were seven different tribes of Canaanites. Canaan, of course, is a son. He was the son of Ham. Ham was an evil man. His son was an evil man. And he told the sons of Israel, go in there, slaughter these people. This is your land. I'm giving this land to you. That took courage. That took boldness. It took a sense of belief in themselves. One of the greatest things that's infected the white race is a self-loathing, a self-hatred. That's from Satan. That's from the devil. Self-loathing is not humility. Self-loathing is not humility. Humility is not, you know what, I'm going to just give up and, you know, this is the way of the world and we're going to go away. That's not humility. That's cowardice. You owe your God, your ancestors, and your children pride in your race, a defense of your race, and of their lands. It's called the fifth commandment of God. It's the fifth commandment. Don't tell me the law is going away. Jesus Christ himself gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. It is very clear. He's very clear in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Don't think for a day that I came to do away with the law of the prophets. Don't you think that? Don't you think that? Not one jot or tittle will go away from this stuff. I did not come to do away with the law, he said. Very clearly. And then you go to Matthew chapter 15. You have these Pharisees that are doing what the evangelical church is doing today, which is overriding the written word of God with their man-made traditions. And he rebuked the Pharisees in very harsh language. He says, how dare you undermine the law of God? And he quoted the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. And he said, anybody that curses their father and mother needs to be put to death. This is Jesus Christ. This is your all-tolerant, all-inclusive, all-loving, all-forgiving Jesus Christ. It says people that curse their parents should be put to death. How do you curse your parents? You call them a racist, you call them sexist, you call them homophobic, you call them anti-Semitic. You don't have permission to do that. You don't have permission to call your parents anti-Semitic or racist. You don't have that permission if you call yourself a Christian. Shame on you. You can't put shame on your ancestors. Jesus Christ says you need to be put to death. You be proud of your ancestors. Now, some of you are going to say, oh, that doesn't sound like very Christian. I'm telling you, I'm flat out telling you, we've invented a new religion. We've come up with a new religion, these evangelicals. I'm part of that. I'm not saying I'm somehow holier or better than them, but this is what we've done. We've overwritten the word of God with our traditions. Ancient Israel was to be an example to every other nation and bloodline on the face of the earth. They are a homogenous people. Were there others with them? Yes. There was other people that traveled with them out of Egypt. But those other people did not define the culture. There was no right to worship Moloch in the nation of Israel when they went into the promised land or when they're out in the desert. There was no right to worship Moloch. There was no right to worship Baal. There was no right to be an atheist. There was no right to have any other religion. There was no right to follow the traditions of the elders. No, you're going to do that? You need to get on your high horse and ride out of town before I catch you. For I do, we're going to stone your butt. That's treason and sedition right there. The first commandment points to Jesus Christ. The first commandment points to Jesus Christ. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It was Jesus Christ that gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. First commandment says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and serve him only. That's Jesus Christ. Now, you want to build a nation that's not a Christian nation? Good luck. I'll just tell you, how's it going out there? How's America doing in 2023? Trannies and sodomites everywhere. Jews running the place. Just like the book of Esther. Get a multicultural empire. Put the Jews in there. They'll figure out a way to get in charge because they're Satan's little babies. They're Satan's children. Satan's very clear when he's talking to Jesus Christ. Look, all this is mine. All the nations are mine. I can give the wealth and the power of the nations to anybody I want to. He gave it to the Jews because they serve Satan. They're the synagogue of Satan. They're not God's children. They're not God's people. God's people have a new name. It's called Christian, Acts chapter 11. Isaiah prophesied, hey, he says, hey, y'all, I'm going to leave. Your name is going to be left for a curse to mankind. My people are going to be called by a new name. Isaiah. It's probably Isaiah 65, but I probably don't want to be too exact right now. And they made a decision. They said, hey, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve Jesus Christ. You'd be proud of your race. You'd be proud of your ancestors. That's part of the Ten Commandments. You defend your land. You're not tolerant of seditious ideas and treason. You get rid of that stuff. There's no in a Christian nation, there's no room for Islam or Judaism. Oh, you're not. Somebody's going to have their head blow up. Look how it's worked out. You like how America's worked out? I don't. I'm illegal in my own country. According to Joe Biden, I'm not an American. I'm a bad American. I'm not an American. And the national security apparatus has been constructed to wage war against people with aberrant ideas. It turns out that the aberrant ideas are people that actually take the scriptures seriously, and white people. All right, this is enough for tonight. I want this to go on for a while, but this is enough for tonight. Fritz Berggren, How to Build a Nation, bloodandfaith.com.